This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money Football Friday here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. Hope you had a nice week. Get ready to do nothing for the next 48 hours. And it's freaking lovely, isn't it? Now, Mike Somich is going to join, of course, VSIN host, The Handle, weekends 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time with Matt Brown. He is, somebody was asking me, it was actually at Starbucks here, Hermosa Beach. Shout to the person that came up to me to not talk to me to ask about Somich. She said, what's up with Somich? What's his deal? And I said, he's a good friend. He happens to be one of the best horse racing handicappers on the planet. You can find him over there at racingdudes.com. Shout to Jared and Aaron. Why didn't we have Aaron on for Red River? That is a good question for the boys because, yeah, I see the big guy. But he also is now a very valued new teammate here at VSiN. We're lucky to have him. And as we say hi to Mike Somich, you have a great article up today. And I think it's a good way to start because so often when people sign up and they get the betting splits, they don't necessarily know how to use them to better understand point spread movements. And that is specifically what you wrote about today for VSiN.com. Great job. Let's go ahead and say hi and intro that article.
I appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for the nice intro there. Yeah, we wrote about betting splits today because it's something that you hear a lot when you get into betting is, hey, take a look at where the money is going. Take a look at how the line's moving. And, you know, VSiN has a wonderful product on there on the betting splits page for any subscriber. You can go and you can see where the money is coming, what the percentage of bets are on each team. But a lot of people take that at kind of the face value. And one of the most important things about understanding betting splits, and if you do want to use them as part of your handicapping, is understanding how they come to be. And so I took three NFL games this week and kind of broke down how those betting splits ended up where they are. Now, the important thing to remember with the NFL, these lines come out on Sunday night, the week before the game, and you're going to have movement that Sunday up until when you look at those specific splits. And that's going to affect the ticket count and the money because it's showing it at any number bet. So that Cincinnati, the Bengals Cardinals game, I think is a great example. It opened at 7. And right now it's sitting at 3. And if you look at the betting splits page, you'll see 50% of the bets on each team and 50% of the money on each team. And while that is correct, you have to understand that a lot of the money came in on Arizona at 7 and 6.5 and 6 all the way down to 3.5. And then when Cincinnati hit 2.5 and then got back to 3, that's where we've seen a lot of the Cincinnati money come in. So understanding the betting splits and where the money was bet and the fact that these games were bet all throughout the week at all different numbers. And that's what's being shown to you is very important. You hear a lot about reverse line movement. And a great example of that is the Vikings against the Chiefs game, where again, this one opened up Kansas City -5.5, 77% of the bets are on Kansas City, but the majority of the money, about 60%, is on the Vikings. We now see that game sitting at 3.5. And people will say, well, the sharp side here is at Minnesota. And well, that's essentially correct in a way. The sharp bettors took the +5.5, +5, the +4.5, and the +4. And that's where that sharp money came. So you've kind of almost missed the boat a little bit on the quote unquote sharp side, because at 3.5, I would make an argument it's not as sharp of a side as it was at those higher totals. So when you're looking at the betting splits, it's important to understand the information that you're processing and not just take it at face value.
Mike, when you look at these matchups and in terms of reverse line movement, some of these things, for people that are not as well versed with it, kind of just give them a little bit of a breakdown in terms of what they should be looking for. Because I know here at VSiN, we do a great job of giving the information on betting splits, but a lot of people may not either have access or don't pay attention to it as closely. And is that something you take into consideration quite often?
So I will look at it. It's not something that is going to cause me to place a bet, but it's something that often will kind of validify my original opinion if I'm seeing that some of the quote sharper players are also following the same thing. And with reverse line movement, the key there is, okay, if we have a large percentage of tickets on one team, so the Chiefs 77% of the tickets, but a large amount of money on the other team, in this case 60% of the money on the Vikings, you're seeing the bigger bettors, the bigger bets come in on Minnesota. And you're seeing the volume of bets coming in on Kansas City. The general thought is the bigger, the better, the sharper they are. So if you're following the money in that case, you're looking at specifically the Vikings at a plus number. And the reverse line movement comes in there where you have a large percentage of tickets, but the number is going the opposite direction. And again, that means the bigger bets are coming in on the other team. So in this case, you've consistently seen bigger bets on the Vikings at +5.5 all the way down to plus four or so. Now we're seeing the market start to even out, which means that you're probably going to see this game kick off at 3.5. Maybe you'll see a four again because of where that money is coming in. And the Cincinnati game that I referenced earlier, great example as well, where all of this Cardinals money, close to 70% of the money over three, was all on the Cardinals. Once it got to 2.5 and 3, we're now seeing that money come in on Cincinnati. So you're evening it out right around 50-50. One thing I love about the VSiN betting splits, updates every 10 minutes. So you can see in real time on a Friday when limits increase exponentially, exactly where that money is coming and how it flows every 10 minutes. I think that's a valuable tool because you can kind of get ahead of a movement if you start to see specifically the handle percentage jump up on one specific team. That's telling you that there's bigger bets coming in on that team over the other team once the limits were raised on the Friday morning.
I think the best way to frame this is by far the most popular tool for subscribers is the betting splits. A lot of people are intimidated, especially in this type of atmosphere, to ask, how do I use them? How do I apply them? How is the data compiled? Well, there's an article now, Samich over at VSiN.com, using the betting splits to your advantage when betting when you become a VSiN pro. Great job, Mike. Now, great job to you and Matt as well with the handle on accruing subscribers. I don't know if you heard, the great news was Sharp Money won the random drawing. So we have a $1,000 voucher for Super Bowl bet from the one and only Bill AD. Now, if we tell you you can't go 60-1 on the Packers, okay, we'll start there and we'll get it out of the way. What would you do here? So the instinct from Amal and Fezzik and others would go like, you know, 5.5-1 on the 49ers. Amal brought up a great point. Maybe we want to focus on the NFC because it's going to be an easier route and then we can start thinking about hedging. I won't give too much more away. Why don't we hear your breakdown? What would you do with $1,000 as far as the Super Bowl?
Well, that's tough. I don't want to chalk out here, but I think the Chiefs are still the best team in football, and I think they're going to get better as the season moves along. I think the offense should improve. You should see more chemistry with the wide receivers, and you know, you got to kind of take that game last Sunday out of your head. That wasn't the Patrick Mahomes you're going to see consistently. I think this defense is the best version of the Chiefs defense that Patrick Mahomes has. This offensive line, the best version of offensive line that Patrick Mahomes has. I realize it's a tougher conference, but with the Bengals kind of, you know, just absolutely a train wreck right now. You don't have Burrow sitting there. I realize you got the Bills in there, but the Bills always seem to just kind of choke during the playoffs. So I'm not as worried about them. And you look down this list, look, the Eagles aren't as good as last year. The 49ers are already starting to get banged up. You have Samuel having issues. You're not sure what you're going to get from Kittle. I don't trust the Cowboys coaching staff. All of a sudden, we're down to Dolphins, Ravens, Lions. I have no interest in those teams. I think the Chiefs at plus 550 is the best number on the board if you get the free 1,000.
You know, Patrick, I think Mike brings up a really good point, and we went through these teams in the AFC, but if at the end of the day, the AFC championship game is being played in Kansas City, and forget the spread on the game, I think we'd have a hard time backing most of these teams to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead come January.
Yeah, 100%. Now, big guy, as we bring Dustin Sweetelson into the mix, and I want to discuss a game tonight in just a little bit and talk about, you talked about the betting splits. I think it's important for bettors to have multiple outs, and a great example would be on the 3.5 with Nebraska and Illinois. Samich, we'll get to that in a second. But first, big guy, we asked at the Rap Radio and at VSiN Live for some help on our futures play. What's the update?
Oh, we've got a few suggestions coming in. Some people saying to be simple and take the Niners, move on and enjoy the ticket. Others are saying the Ravens. I've seen a few others saying the Dolphins as well. That feels like a bit of jumping on the hype train right now. I still am intrigued by 30-1 on the Cincinnati Bengals.
And that, I'm glad you brought it up, big guy. So the Bengals got a get right spot, Samich, to take on Arizona. Now, Arizona's been pesky, I guess we could use that term, but they should jump up to 2-3. Okay. Still Joe Burrow. They've had terrible starts the last two seasons and completely corrected. Course corrected. You shook your head when you heard the 30-1 on the Bengals. Give us your take on Cincinnati.
I mean, man, it feels like that should be 50 or 60-1 to me. I think you're almost getting a little bit short of a price because of how well they rebounded last year. This is a very different situation. Last year is appendix out. You don't have to worry about his appendix coming back and bothering him when you take it out of your body. This calf could be a problem for a long time for this Bengals team. You now have T. Higgins, who's injured. The defense, not nearly as good, lost their safety to Atlanta in the offseason there. I just don't like this Bengals team. And the thing is, and Amal mentioned this, in the AFC, the key is getting the one seed. the Bengals will not have the one seed. They probably won't be able to win this division based off of this start, which means they're going to have to go on the road three times and play marquee-esque quarterbacks on the road and win all three of those games to be able to get to the Super Bowl. If I was taking a price, I'm taking a shot in the NFC. If I want a favorite, I'm taking the best team in football with Kansas City. And the shot, I know Moal disagrees with this one. Watch out for my Seahawks. They're starting to get better now. They're playing better on the line. You're getting 30-1 there, baby. And they are going to start getting healthy on the offensive line as well. They're the team I take a flyer with if I'm taking a shot.
When you say 30-1, is that to finish second place in the NFC West?
Yeah, well, hey, if I was getting 30-1 on the NFC West second place, Lamal, I would bet your house on it. I would take everybody's money and put that out there because they're going to finish second behind the Niners. But it's a team which at least is frisky in my mind and could make some noise come the playoffs because that's when they're going to be the best version of themselves.
So real quick, we have been about a minute. Mike, we were talking about Detroit, Dallas, San Francisco, and Philadelphia as the four teams, kind of a point of demarcation in the NFC. So I'm assuming based on that, you're going to include Seattle in that mix to potentially be able to come out of there. Do you agree with the notion that we have Detroit and Dallas in there, and you would throw Seattle in there, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I mean, look, the problem with both Detroit and Dallas to me, I mean, Dallas is... I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan, and you look at their red zone efficiency this year, it's just getting worse. It's really predictable on the play calling side. I don't think Kellen Moore was a godsend, but at the same time, he made that offense much more difficult to defend. So his loss really kind of puts me out on the Cowboys. And the Lions, I just still can't get there with that defense. I think they're going to have defensive struggles down the stretch. We saw the Seattle be able to go in there, hang a 37 burger on them and beat them in Detroit. So I can't really get there on the Lions either. It feels like it's the Niners for an absolute wild card to me. And so if I'm taking a wild card, I want a big price.
Beautiful. VSiN host Mike Somich is here on a Friday. Always love to see Mr. Packer. And by the way, you can find him right now 60-1. You know he's got bets down for his wife, his daughter, the dog. He's getting everybody involved. When we come back, Nebraska, Illinois tonight.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, I got three of the sharpest guys in front of me here. Somich, of course, the big guy, has been killing it with the picks. Amal Shaw, a nice over, a cash last night. Easy rocking chair. Make sure you get the picks and more. Introductory offer, $19. Picks at a glance, easily sortable. Follow hosts and guests, top VSiN expert leaderboard. It's all there. VSiN.com/subscribe. What's the big guy sending? Go ahead. What do you got for me, big guy?
Well, not going to be good news for one Mike Somich here. Apparently, David Bakhtiari is going to have knee surgery, and he is out for the season for the Packers, the big left tackle. And I have to imagine that means he will be a future New York Jet left tackle next season.
Somich, of course, a shareholder there with the Packers. Sorry, it's just terrible shtick. I just got to keep going. Bakhtiari done.
That was broken like 2 hours ago, and Dustin's just saving it now, just when I'm on the show to be able to break it. I like how this works, Dustin. I see what you're doing, buddy.
I love it. I love it. Of course, Mike Somich joining us here. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Somich, the handle, weekends, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern with our buddy Matt Brown. If you're looking for weekend programming during the football season, I can assure you the reviews have been rave. I got to watch the boys last weekend. Nothing better. Tonight, this is important. Of course, key number, we constantly talk about it in the NFL. It doesn't change in college football. 3, still the key number. DraftKings right now is showing Nebraska catching 3 tonight, Somich, at Illinois. This Illinois team stinks. I'm sorry. This is the best rush attack in the Big Ten in Nebraska, the worst rush defense in the Big Ten in Illinois. In fact, they're dead last in the Big Ten in scoring and total defense. Bielema is a joke. I'll take the 3.5 and be happy with it with Nebraska tonight. Where are you on this one, Somich?
Yeah, I took the +3.5 here as well. I think a lot of people, when they think about this Nebraska team, think about the two games that they've really seen them play. That was against Colorado week 2, where there was just an absolute mess, specifically a quarterback, couldn't even handle the snap. And then the Michigan game last week where they got absolutely pelted 45-7. Well, they were never competing with Michigan, and we've switched quarterbacks since we played that Colorado game. I think the market's not giving Nebraska enough respect for the quarterback switch and this offense. And the defense actually – has been pretty good for this Nebraska team. That Colorado, again, they were on the field the entire time. They were always going to give it up in the second half in altitude. And then you look at this Illinois squad, and you said it, they stink. I mean, this is like a shell of the defense that we saw last year that was top 10 in the NCAA in defensive efficiency. You look at what they've done this year. I mean, they're giving up points galore to Purdue. They go up 44 last week, lost that game 44-19. The one win, FAU, one of the worst college teams in the country. I realize we're at home on a Friday night. Don't love taking the dog, but the 3.5 is really what got me here. If you're catching that hook, I like it quite a bit. In a game that's not going to be a ton of points, I think Nebraska's going to be able to cover. I even sprinkle a little bit on the money line here, plus 145. I do think they're the better football team. Just have to be able to go on the road and win, which can be a tall task sometimes there in Illinois.
By the way, boys, do you got anything? I like it a straight out win. I like a straight up winner for Nebraska here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. If you're going to play this game with the Huskers, I think you're looking at them winning the football game. But I want to go back to the point you guys all made on the running game. This team has been dominant, minus the Michigan game. They still got over 100 yards in that game, but their minimum total this year has been 181 yards. And the other three games have had over 200 yards. I just don't think the Illini have the answer, and that ball control will help the Huskers defense as well.
Big guy?
I don't have a play on this one. I was thinking about something in the first half, but I don't like watching either of them play football. Okay. Altmaier at quarterback for Illinois is just absolutely beautiful. And look, he's an upgrade at quarterback, but it's still Heinrich Harlberg at quarterback for Nebraska. Like, come on here.
What was that accent? Was that like
German? They're supposed to be German.
German. Not bad. Guten Tag. Okay, LSU, Missouri. This was one of my plays yesterday with the dog pound. You're going to do it a little differently, approach this a little bit differently. It's a defense in LSU that's just completely forgotten how to tackle. That's really what it comes down to. And you're going to follow along. You're going to go Missouri team total over 29, Samich.
Yeah, I am. Look, I broke this game down, and every permutation that I came up with, Missouri gets to 30 here in this spot. I mean, I could see them getting blown out, not being able to cover the 5.5, something like 45-35, somewhere in that range. I could see this being a close game, flying over the total, both teams in the 30s. We'll call it 38-35. I could also see Missouri just being able to put up points and winning this game outright somewhere in that 35-24, 35-28 range there in Como. In every case, though, the one constant is that Missouri goes over their team total here. Cook, very good at quarterback. You've got multiple weapons on the outside, one of the best receivers in the country for Missouri. And you also have a second receiver who's about 6'2", should be able to stretch the secondary. Missouri's been able to put up points in every one of their games. The one game where they didn't get over this total featured only 7 possessions for this Missouri offense. You saw Ole Miss last week get 13 possessions in that game against LSU. If Missouri gets anything over 10 possessions, it's going to be hard to keep them under their 30-point total. Right now, the team total sitting at 29 or 29.5, depending on where you're shopping. I think Missouri is able to go over that just because of the volume of possessions I'm expecting them to see on Saturday.
Yeah, I like Mike's breakdown here. Guys, a couple of concerns I have. First, from the LSU side, where are they mentally? You lose that game on the road in Oxford. Now you know you're eliminated from the college football playoff. The whole talk into the offseason was beat Florida State, beat Alabama, and then you go to the SEC and you get to the college football playoff. Those things are probably not going to happen, at least in terms of the playoff in all likelihood. So it's going to be a tough spot here. And then you mentioned Cook. Luther Burden on the perimeter. For people that don't know, this is a guy that was the number one. Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. Number one receiver coming out of high school. He's delivered. Schrader's been tremendous at the running back position. I think they're balanced. And the fact that they can attack this defense, they've got a great opportunity. I like Mike's play here, but I would take it one step further. If you think Missouri's going to score points, which I agree with Mike, you got to look at the Tigers here, Missouri Tigers on the money line here. By the way, this is the SEC. We got to have three schools with the same nickname in the same division. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I think you look at Missouri at home being able to win this game. The victory they had against Kansas State was a good benchmark of a quality opponent, and now another opportunity.
Yep. Great job. Dustin, I'd like your LSU Missouri breakdown in Russian, please.
Well, I like my favorite part about Amal's breakdown is that's why the Pac-12 is superior. You can always find a beaver or a cougar if you need to in the Pac-12.
There we go. And over your left shoulder is never mind. Go ahead, Dustin. Anything on this one?
Yeah, you guys, I am not allowed. If LSU loses this game for the rest of the season, do not let me place a bet on LSU for the rest of the year. They're a waste of time and they're a waste of money. Because I've wasted
quick,
a ton of
look
money
over your
on
left
it.
Shoulder. Dustin, oh. Quick. Is that part? Is she going to be part of our game here?
That's a new recruit. That's a new recruit that just went to number one on the power ratings, boys.
We are turning
she's
into
not a new recruit. She's a previous recruit.
I turned the show into a creepy, weird show. I apologize. Okay, next one up. We're trying to find friends. Miami, first half, Georgia Tech, you're going to lay the 11 and a hook, 11 and a half here, Samich.
Yeah, this is a very, very good Miami Hurricanes team. Full disclosure here, I am a Hurricanes fan, and I'm starting to get excited, which generally means this is where they absolutely lay an egg. But, man, this Miami team consistently just blowing teams out, taking care of business. We saw what they were able to do with Texas A&M, who's now a slight favorite, or a slight dog, but to Alabama, who I like in that game against Alabama this week. Miami has a big stretch coming up. It's why I don't want to lay the full 20 or 21, depending on where you're shopping. But this feels like a Miami team that's just going to come out, have put on their hard hat, take care of business in the first half, win by 14 or 21, and then put it in cruise control heading into the harder stretch of their season. I've got a Miami to win the title ticket at 80-1. I like them to win the ACC at plus 850. If you want to get involved in either of those are going to disappear pretty soon. Don't love North Carolina. They've got them in 2 weeks. I think this Miami team is for real. I think they jump all over Georgia Tech early. Don't want to play the full game because of the look ahead issues, but I think this is a focused Miami team in the first half. They get the job done.
Mike, I said the other day that Miami's a threat to win the ACC at $6. You can take them to win the league. I think it's a great bet. Even if they lose to Florida State on the second weekend in November, you could still get an opportunity to hedge out of that play in the conference championship game. And Patrick, I agree with Mike on this one, particularly in a first half play. Miami's coming off of a bye against Temple. And I'll tell you what, Brent Key's team against Georgia Tech against Bowling Green. Guys, that game wasn't even as close as the final score. BG absolutely beat the hell out of them. It looked like they were the ACC team, and that was the team that was getting paid to come in and play that game.
There you go. Big guy, I think you have a play here on Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I am a Miami fan, and Samich kind of alluded to part of the reasoning for it is that I know how things go when things start to feel good for Miami, and they don't go well. So a couple things. The underdogs cover the spread in each of Georgia Tech's last five games at Hard Rock Stadium. They're coming off that bad Bowling Green loss, as Amal mentioned. The team's angry. I saw a bunch of quotes out of Brent Key about them having to get back to the basics, getting focused. I do think this is a more talented Georgia Tech team than we've seen in the last few years, and Miami's coming off a bye. You would think Miami's good coming off a bye, right? No. They have lost four of their last six as a home favorite when playing with the rest advantage. You go through the history against Georgia Tech, the average margin of victory in this matchup over the last 10 years is 10.1 points per game. Prior to last year, the last time a team would have covered a 20-point spread was 2010. I'm going to take the 20 and a half. I'm going to bet Georgia Tech, and maybe Miami wins, but I don't think they're covering a number that big against a bad Yellow Jackets program that always seems to be a thorn in our sides.
I would just like Samich and Amal. I would like Samich and Amal to know a little trick about Dustin Sweetelson. Yeah. You know, he's feeling extra spicy on a Friday when he asks himself a question during his rant and then answers it right away. Did you hear that? That's his little trick, isn't it, big guy? Your little trick. He asked you. Yeah, rhetorical.
It's what I do because I have no friends. I have no family. I have nobody out here. I walk around my apartment. I speak to myself. And sometimes I forget when I'm speaking to you guys that there are other people in the conversation.
It's a good hockey / broadcasting trick. Ask a question, answer it yourself. You can't be wrong, big guy. Hey, this is a big Miami network. We've got big guy's dad graduated. Samich is a Miami fan. Felik is a Miami fan. We're going to come back and run the board.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, we're going to run the Week 5 board, and Samich, you're going to be up first, but first, a little break to tell you about Zyn nicotine pouches. They're already number one when it comes to nicotine pouches. It's helped millions of people, Zyn, achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or a dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn is made with six simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. It's available in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction, because if you're discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment or the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgate gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Got you back here Friday. Nothing better. Sharp Money. We are the winners of the $1,000 drawing, random. I want to give props again, not just to the handle with Samich and Mr. Brown, but follow the money all the way through the lineup here in VSiN and our little challenge. Show on show. Everybody did a great job for the company, and we happen to have a $1,000 future. Looking forward to it. Okay. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. I mentioned Mike Samich. I'm Patrick Maher. We run the board. We go rotation number. So let's get it started, boys. 451. Jacksonville's at Buffalo. Buffalo, Samich is laying 5.5, and the total is 48.5.
It's a really bad spot for Buffalo, coming off absolutely trouncing the Miami Dolphins. Now have to travel across the pond to take on a team that's been in London, England there for a week now. I like the Jaguars plus the 5.5 here. So to me, it's Jaguars or pass. I have not bet it yet. Probably going to bet it Saturday once I make a final decision here. But Jaguars are pass for me.
I agree with Mike here, Patrick, when you look at this game. Now, on the flip side, you look at this Buffalo offensive team really starting to roll, averaging better than 40 points a game over their last three games. Defensively, they've just given up 11 points per game during that stretch. This is an important game for Jacksonville. You could get potentially back-to-back wins in London. Be a good way to get things turned around, even though they're sitting at 2-2 right now.
Yeah, it's no longer a neutral site game in London. It's a Jaguars home game. They've done this enough. They've been through it enough. And the fact that they stayed there back-to-back weeks, Buffalo coming off the win. I totally agree with the guys. I haven't done it yet, but I'm considering taking the 5.5.
And I want to do a better job hosting this. Remember, these are all leans unless the boys say official play. So we're going to give a play on every game, but just to make sure that we understand leans for every single game. It's a good practice you should do at home as well. Agreed with all of you. I'd take the 5.5 with the Jags. Next up, rotation number 453. Houston's at Atlanta. Atlanta's laying 1.5, and the total, Samich, is 41.5.
Tricky game here. Houston, obviously a buy high point if you're going to take them plus the 1.5 here. Got Atlanta coming back from London. 9 games where teams have come back from London have not had a buy. The opposing team's team total has gone over 7 of those 9 times. I'll take Houston team total over 20.5 here. I think the offense keeps it rolling. I don't want to bet Houston, but I do think they're able to put up some points. So give me the team total over 20.5.
Yeah, this was my small dog play of the week. I like Houston on the money line here, guys, officially here, plus 110. I think the Texans are playing extremely well, but a couple things have happened. Last two games, despite a makeshift offensive line, they have not given up a sack. The defense is slowly improving. We saw the effectiveness against Pittsburgh prior to that against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now you've got a team whose quarterback play is comparable to what we saw to Pittsburgh last week down in Houston. And I think if the Texans can slow down this running game just enough to put pressure on Desmond Ridder, I think they walk out of Atlanta with a W.
Yeah, the Texans are getting 2 of those tackles back that were out the last couple weeks. That is a massive add for them, which is why my initial lean was to back the Falcons in this spot. I really wanted to find a way to bet them, but as long as Ridder is the quarterback there, I can't, because he is still the quarterback, Desmond Ridder, and because it is C.J. Stroud's first road game after really jumping on the scene. I know he opened on the road with Baltimore, but since he's gotten off to a hot start and figured things out, this could be a struggle spot for him against a front for Atlanta that I think is very good. Remember, they forced Bryce Young into 2 interceptions. The back end's gotten better with Bates. I'm going to go under 41.5.
Just a couple things.
Go ahead, sorry. No, please go ahead, Amal.
I was just going to add to Stroud's point. He's played in this dome before. Remember, he played very well against Georgia in this same dome. And the one advantage that Houston has in this division, they play their 8-9 home games, and they play division opponents. So I think that helps the fact that you're not in any kind of element at all.
I'll build off what the big guy said about potentially Houston in a tough spot with Stroud. If there is a positive for Ridder, he's starkly different at home. He's adequate at home and a disaster on the road. I'll lay the 1.5 with Atlanta. Next up, 455, Carolina at Detroit. Samich, Detroit's laying 10, doubles and 44 on the total.
Yeah, and nothing in the game here for me from a side or total perspective. Interested a little bit in Reynolds over receiving props. Amon-Ra St. Brown banged up. Both of the Panthers cornerbacks out, number 1 and number 2 in this spot. So give me some Reynolds, Josh Reynolds over receiving props. I think he's going to be able to have a pretty big game.
I'm in a separate Survivor contest. I took the Detroit Lions in this spot. I just think they're going to win this football game at home. I'm with Mike. I don't want to lay nearly 10 points. I don't want to touch this total, but I think the Lions move on. I know a lot of people like Moneyline parlays, and I would recommend, if you can, sometimes get away from it. But I think the Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions are probably going to make up a lot of those Moneyline parlays.
I've got a prop bet. David Montgomery over 70.5 rush yards against Carolina this year. The Falcons ran for 130, the Saints 134, Seattle 146, and even Minnesota with no running back help there, 135. I saw a clip of Austin Eckler, running back for the Chargers, talking about how Jahmyr Gibbs clearly looks like a talented guy, but also looks like a rookie right now. Still getting acclimated to the Detroit offense. We'll go Montgomery over 70.5 rush yards. He'll be the bell cow.
Okay, good breakdown, all three of you. I can't get the doubles with Detroit. I'll take Carolina and the points. 457, Tennessee at Indianapolis. This is a very interesting game. It's up to 2.5 with Tennessee laying at Samich and a total of 43.5.
Yeah, if this ever gets to three, give me the Colts. I like the Colts plus three here. Don't have any interest in the game at 2.5. I think the total is right about on. I would lean toward the under here. You've got a very good rush defense in the Titans and a very and an offense that's one going to be focusing on the run here for the Colts. I think that tends to lean toward the under. Still don't trust Tannehill. Still don't trust this Titans offense. So for me, it's Colts plus three. If we get there, under or pass in this one.
I like the Colts here on the money line. Didn't play it, but guys, this team at home is a much more difficult, challenging team. We saw the Jacksonville game. They probably should have won that game. The Rams game, they come from behind, force overtime. I can't lay points on the road with Tennessee anywhere.
Yeah, strongly considering adding the Colts, even if it stays at 2.5, to be honest. I think that they have much, much more dynamic playmakers than Tennessee does at the moment. There is a prop I really love in this game, and that's Michael Pittman. Over 5.5 receptions, it's plus 105. You look at the game log for Pittman, only had one against the Rams in week one, followed up with 9 at Baltimore, 9 at Houston, 8 versus Jacksonville, averaging 6.5 receptions a game. And then you look at what receivers are getting against this Tennessee Titans defense. Olave went for 8, Keenan Allen 8, Cooper from the Browns 7, and Jamar Chase had 7. I like over 5.5 on Pittman.
The Titans have won and covered in 5 straight. However, I'm with you, boys. Give me the 2. I'll buy it up to 3, but give me the 2.5. Give me the Colts at home. Can't lay it with a bad Titans team. Okay, next up. Let's see. Yep, plenty of time. Let's go rotation number. Remember, rotation for new bettors at the book. You got to use it. 459. The Giants are at Miami. Got a big number here, Samich. 12.5 with Miami laying it. 47.5 on the total.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that Matt and I both took Miami minus 9.5 last on Sunday when the numbers originally came out here. I would not play this at 12.5 where it is now. I may buy back some Giants here at plus 13 if we ever get there. Feels like you're just trying to catch a falling knife with this Giants team, though. The one positive for them, the defense was a lot better on against Seattle. They held that Seattle team to just 17 points in that game. When I thought that Seattle was going to have more effectiveness on the offensive side of the football. So to me, this is Giants are passed now that we're at this high of a number. I don't want to touch this total because I don't know what to expect from the Giants team, but I don't really want to play a Miami game under either. So side is Giants for pass for me. Would need probably 14 if I was going to enter into the market. 13 if you already have a Miami bet to kind of cover some of it. But it's a tough spot here, tough game.
Yeah, I think Miami bounces back in a big way and they cover this game. Didn't play it, but it's hard to lay almost 2 touchdowns in almost any NFL game. But at the end of the day, this offense has been dynamic against some weaker defenses. And the Giants have problems on both sides of the ball. You know, we talked about the 11 sacks, but let's be real here. They're not creating a ton of havoc or pressure defensively either. I think Tua is able to pick them apart.
They can't tackle. They can't cover. They can't get to the quarterback. The defense is useless. I gave this out Tuesday. I bet it on Tuesday. Dolphins first half minus 6.5. It's up to 7.5. I don't know if I really love it there. I do like getting laying just under the touchdown. Giants have only led at the half once in their last 7 games. That halftime win was against Minnesota in the playoffs. It's also the only time they would have covered 6.5 in the first. They are horrible in the first half. They will not be able to keep up with this Miami offense.
Can't tackle, can't score, hide your wife, hide your kids, lay 12.5 with the Dolphins. Are you kidding me? The Giants are freaking terrible. I agree with you, Big Dog. I prefer your first half play. Okay, we're almost halfway through. When we return, we'll go 461 on the board. New Orleans at New England. I'll just set it up right now. I'm seeing most shops showing New England a point, some pick'ems, and 39 on the total. Okay, so we'll keep it going. We'll run the board. Remember, you want to check out that article today. Samich broke down how to use the splits and apply it to your betting strategy over at vsin.com. Mike Samich, co-host of The Handle. Weekends, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We're back running the board.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can place a $5 bet and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, Mike Somich on a Friday. I'm Patrick Maher. And a word of caution, when you fade the Detroit Lions on this program, you have to pay, okay? And pay Somich did to the one and only Dustin Sweetelson. The boys went out. Dustin, go ahead and set this up. Mike Somich pays his bets. That's one thing.
And look, I got to give a guy credit when he's going to really own up and do things right. I went in thinking I'll order like one thing. We'll get in, we'll get out. He goes, no. I lost the bet. I said I would buy dinner. We're going to have a freaking dinner. And he ordered like five or six different things. There were drinks flowing. He totally... Honestly, he made me feel guilty for winning the bet that now I feel like I should just take him to dinner separately. So first things first, this is the number one item. You go to Circa, you go to 8 East, the Chinese spot, and they have brisket fried rice. Number one.
Mm.
Actually, it
sounds delicious.
Is it Japanese? It's a Japan. No, it's Chinese. It's Chinese.
It's called 8 East at Circa?
It's not Chinese.
It's not.
No.
Okay, it's called 8 East. Is that what it's called?
Yes, 8 East. The brisket fried rice, honestly, for $30, I think it's tough to find a comparable meal out there.
Everyone says that. I've never eaten it. I'm vegetarian, but everybody universally says that brisket fried rice is the reason they go.
Yeah, it's perfection. Mike?
Yeah, the brisket fried rice was phenomenal. We had some mushrooms as an appetizer. That was really good. Drinks are stiff, which is nice. So you get some good drinks there as well. Not overly priced. And then we got the Wagyu steak as well, which is the special for the night. And that was exceptional as well, Dust. I thought it was all around a very good meal.
The Wagyu steak, nope. Mike did not have to do. But it was phenomenal, and I'm happy he did it.
Somich is fine. He wins $50,000 pick sixes for fun on the weekend, okay? He can afford 8 East at Circa.
Look, you don't know what you're going to get when someone says, I'm going to buy you dinner, and they look at me and they go, uh-oh, I'm buying a lot of dinner. You know what I mean? Like, he was not nervous in the moment.
Well, he's a gentleman. 8 East at Circa, the best. Okay.
When you lose your bets, you got to pay your bets.
You paid them off, and the food keeps on showing, and I'm getting more hungry. So let's hurry up and finish the board, and we'll get the hell out of here, and we can all eat. New Orleans at New England. We'll call it New England lane one. Somich, 39 on the total.
I play the under here. I'll play the under again. So bet for me under 39 in this spot. I would play New England here, but the defensive injuries to Judon and Gonzalez scare me. So just the under for me.
Didn't play this game, but I would play it as low as 38 on the under. I'll probably wind up on it, especially we're at 39 or 38 and a half.
Love the under. Love betting against the Saints out in the elements, outside the dome. It's Belichick versus a banged up Derek Carr. Saints defense is really good, and Mac Jones is really bad. It's a simple handicap. Love it.
Under all day, every day. Totally agree. In unison, 463, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore's laying 4.5. Somich, total 38.
I don't want to touch this game with a 10-foot pole. Everyone's going to tell you about how this has been a close series forever. This Pittsburgh team feels broken. And to me, it's Pittsburgh or pass, and I'm going to pass.
I agree with Mike. Pass on this game. Generally, we know it's close, but this is a tough one.
Falling into the trap since 2015, home underdogs, week before a bye, which Pittsburgh is, 28-16-1. That's 63% ATS. Tomlin has a home underdog, 17-5-3. That's 77% ATS. And then in this rivalry over the last 20 years, the underdog is 28-12-3 ATS. That's a lot of numbers to tell me. I'm betting the Steelers, even if everyone else is.
Totally. I'm afraid of Tomlin. I'll take the 4.5. Let's go 465. Cincinnati at Arizona. Cincy's laying 3 on the road, 44, Somich.
I'll take the 3 with the Arizona Cardinals. I think this Cincinnati team is broken. It's more than just Burrow. That defense not nearly as good as expected. Now you got T. Higgins out as well. I'm going to wait this one out. It's never going to 2.5. We saw it go to 2.5 once, and immediately that got bought up. So you're going to be able to get 3 on game day. I think you're going to be able to get 3.5 sometimes before kickoff. So Arizona at 3.5, a play for me here. If it never gets there, I'll play Arizona at 3.
I'm going to take a chance with the Bengals here. If they go to 1-4, I think the season is in complete collapse. I think the Bengals, despite the injuries to Burrow and Higgins, go on the road and win this game.
Yeah, I am completely staying away from this game and hoping that Joe Burrow starts to look healthier in this one. And that way I can convince you guys to bet the Bengals with our Super Bowl free roll at 30-1 on Monday.
Dr. Somich told us Burrow doesn't have an appendix, but he does pick up a win in the desert, lay the 3 with the Bengals. Next, 467, Philly at the Rams. Philly's laying 4, totals 50, Somich.
Like this over earlier in the week, it's absolutely steamed up. To me, this is Rams or pass. I'm going to play the Rams at +4, +4.5 if I get it. Don't love the spot for them. Feels a little bit like that Eagles-Tampa game where everyone was on Tampa, went by the Eagles. They were able to cover. But I like this Rams offense against a banged-up Philadelphia secondary, so I'll take the Rams +4.
I'm going to pass on this game, but I agree with Mike's breakdown of it. I think you look at the home team here, and the total got very interesting, but the number's gotten high.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams here at +3.5. Not the best of the number, but the Eagles play with fire every week. They're always in close games. So are the Rams. Eagles are riding a high, having to fly across the country, and Cooper Kupp might be back for the Rams. I'll take the points at home.
I like your initial instinct, Samich. I like the over 50. Let's go 469, Jets, Denver. Denver's laying 2.5, 43.5 on the total, Mike.
Give me the under here, 43.5. Remember last week when the Jets Chiefs was at 42.5? We're getting an extra point here with the Broncos and the Jets. Look, this Broncos defense, I realize it's atrocious, but I don't think we're going to get that level of Zach Wilson every single week. I think he's going to struggle a little bit here. Do like some Breece Hall props, looking at his over rushing yards. Everyone's been able to run against this Broncos defense. I expect he is able to as well. I think the Jets are able to shut down the Broncos here. So give me the under 43.5.
I thought we already talked about this game. It's called Nebraska, Illinois. Who cares?
Samich, we're on the same page here. Last 3 weeks against this Denver defense, Chicago ran for 171, Miami 350, Washington 122. Robert Saleh said there's no more limits on Breece Hall's workload, over 59.5 rush yards.
Okay. I like the under as well, 43.5. Let's continue. We go 471 Kansas City at Minnesota, 3.5 Kansas City's lane at Samich, 52.5 on the total.
I like the Vikings in this spot. I think they're going to be able to keep this a one-score game and can score with Kansas City here. So I'm looking to play them. I'm hoping I can get a 4 or 4.5 later in the week. If not, I'll take 3.5 at kickoff.
I'm going to square bear it up and go with the Chiefs here on the road despite laying 3.5. Look, they didn't play well for three quarters minus the first in New York. I think they bounced back in a better way. And this Vikings team defensively, still a lot of deficiencies.
I have totally no vibe for this game. I'd love to find a receiving prop to back on the Chiefs just because I think the Vikings secondary is something to exploit every single week. But I have nothing at this time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Dustin. So when I'm in doubt, I'll take the points. 3.5 at home with Minnesota. 473 Dallas at San Francisco, so much laying 3.5 hosting the Cowboys, 44.5 on the total.
Quick prop for you, Dustin. You can take over 2.5 touchdowns thrown by Patrick Mahomes if you are looking to way to fade that Minnesota Vikings defense. Hey. I like this game in two ways. I like the Niners and I like the under here. This Cowboys offense been absolutely terrible in the red zone so far. It's the Cowboys defense been very good in the red zone. That plays toward the under. This is just a coaching mismatch to me. I don't like Mike McCarthy at all. He plays a very vanilla offense. That's what we've seen from the Cowboys in the first couple weeks. It's the San Francisco defense that should be able to respond to him. A little worried that San Francisco's banged up, so I like the under 45.5, a little more than I like the San Francisco -3.5, but they're both bets for me.
I like Mike's play here on both sides. I didn't play this game, by the way. Historically, 19-19-1 is the series record between these two teams. Should be another great one on Sunday night.
49ers first half -1.5. This is a different breed for Dallas to face. They're at San Francisco, or San Jose technically. Either way, 49ers getting it done in the first half.
Points, 44.5. Let's go over. Let's go quickly. 475 Green Bay at Vegas. Vegas is laying a point, 45 on the total. Samich, it looks like Garoppolo has cleared concussion protocol.
It took a while for him to get through that. Look, I like the over here, 45.5. You're getting a Green Bay team that's getting healthy on the offensive side of the football. Defense still has some question marks. This is a Raiders team that's been able to throw the football. Basically a home game here for Green Bay. Don't forget there's going to be more Green Bay fans there in Las Vegas than there will be Raiders fans. So I'll take the over 44.5. I lean toward the Packers, but I'm not going to play them this week.
Agree completely on everything Mike said on this game. Over 44.5.
Don't see it posted yet, but I'm going to be over Josh Jacobs, whatever the attempts number is. He's going to run it down Green Bay's throat. That's my favorite play in this game.
Over 44.5. Totally agree with the boys. Okay, let's just do 2-1. I'm actually excited to see what ends up being 2-1 gas station snacks from the big guy.
Yeah, okay? I'll tweet the full list out at Dustin Sweetelson at the Rap Radio. Number two, I mentioned early in this process, I like something where there's multiple things in a bag. I also am a big fan of gummies. So, well, not the kind of gummies you guys take. Sour gummy worms, to be exact. They are as good. Like, I put them kind of, you did the Zyn read before. I use them like they're a Zyn pouch, and I put them down to my lip, and I just
bad boy.
I let them sit there. That's why the dentist gets so much money out of me. And then number one, To me, it's like my favorite snack of all time.
I just like to say you didn't troll us for the first time. Go ahead.
It's my favorite snack of all time. I'm constantly having to clean my apartment because I'm always spitting into cups and Gatorade bottles full of sunflower seeds and knocking them over. Sunflower seeds, number one, best road trip gas station snack out there.
Samich is shaking his head. Yes, you agree?
Yeah, not even close. I'll go one step further. Dill pickle sunflower seeds. That is where the jam is at.
Keeps you busy the whole time.
Amal, have a great weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Samich, have a great weekend. The Handle coming up 7 to 10 East, Saturday and Sunday. Brian Bosworth, thanks for letting us have 10 minutes off today's show.